One of my favorite parts about living in Colorado Springs is taking occasional weekend trips driving west on Highway 24. I love rolling down my windows and losing myself in the mountain valley, swerving past dramatic red rock and hidden canyons engulfed in ponderosa pine. Yet I always feel a twinge of guilt every time I pass the Waldo Canyon Burn. It sneaks up on me as I turn the corner towards the town of Cascade, where once I was met with a deep wall of green. Rows of charred silhouettes now stand to greet me. It's like driving past a cemetery. How did this happen? More importantly, I think as I drive past, when will I get back what I once saw when I drove up here? A thick forest and a beautiful hiking area. I wanted to know, when will the burn scar on Waldo Canyon heal back to its former glory? But the answer I found revealed to me that my question itself was based in more than a few incorrect assumptions. Like, for instance, that the Waldo Canyon burn scar would heal, as if it were a cut or a broken bone. Or my assumption that I would ever live to see it as it once was. Or even that it would ever return to what it once was in the first place. I'm standing on the north side of Highway 24 in the burn scar. Up close, the charred trees look as ghostly as I'd imagined. The soil in some places is a moonscape. I'm here with Teresa Springer, who works for the Coalition for the Upper South Platte, a nonprofit that supports environmental projects. In 2012, she was asked by the county to lead some of the restoration efforts for the Waldo burn scar.
And so I keep hearing this phrase, the fire isn't over until restoration is complete.
That's a long time. You know, the Buffalo Creek fire was 1996, and it still has some erosion issues. It takes a really long time to heal. And that was a 6,000 acre fire, where when you think about trees growing in that 25 year span and filling it in, you got a good shot at 100 years of having a forest back.
With almost 20,000 acres burned in the Waldo fire, we're lucky if the landscape fills in within the next century.
When the fire burns hot like this, it kills the microbes in the soil.
Teresa told me that she had a lot of people asking her if they can plant trees to help speed up the restoration process. But the issue isn't the trees, it's building back the soil. Without a good layer of topsoil, a tree can't establish itself.
To regrow a forest, you have to grow a blade of grass and some shrubs before you can grow a tree. So it's a really slow process.
I first heard that phrase, the fire isn't over until restoration is complete, on the Waldo Canyon Fire website. But since then, I've heard it over and over again. If we take it literally, that means we'll be living in a disaster zone for the rest of our lives. Grim. I spoke to Eric Paramond, an associate professor of Southwest Studies and Environmental Science at Colorado College. He was quick to point out the ambiguity of the word restoration.
The key word there, whether recovery is complete or restoration is complete, is that we know that we have decades of work to do. And whether that's just minimizing the damage to humans, or we're talking about a larger, kind of more strategic effort to actually restore environments. But for whom? To what effect? What do we want it to look like? I think those are tougher questions that really have not been resolved. So it's a great catchphrase. Because it can sort of capture the human desire to, like, let's do something.
The word restoration seems to hint at a return to the way things were before. But we can't count on that either.
The big takeaway from any major Western wildfire is that it's really unlikely that you're going to be able to hit a reset button on any previous landscape, is that the species composition will be completely different. It'll be similar, but it'll be completely different. So the idea that somehow succession hits a reset to start over again back to its previous climax is a kind of an idea that's now discredited.
So what will it look like?
The first things that you notice coming back, even 7 or 8 weeks after the Waldo Canyon fire in 2012, when we went out there, was that you notice the gamble oak popping back up and yucca, things that are fire resistant and actually thrive on fire. They're kind of pyrophilic.
Eric is skeptical of our ability as humans to restore Waldo Canyon.
Without our intervention, would it look any different? Probably not a lot, right, in 100, 200 years, 300 years. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact that people have a stake in it or want to shape it to a particular goal or vision or value of the landscape that I think makes all the difference.
Even with all of the work she and her volunteers have done, Teresa ultimately feels the same way. She described to me a feeling of helplessness when she was preparing for last summer's floods.
This is one of those fires when I first came out. They said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I don't think there's enough sandbags in the world to protect these houses."
Once a high-intensity crown fire like the Waldo fire burns through, there really isn't much we can do to fix it, except to be patient. But in speaking with Eric and Teresa, I gathered that if we really want to do something about the burn scar, we should do everything we can to mitigate future fires. And that seems simple enough. Just listen to Smokey the Bear. But mitigation itself is also multi-layered. We can't even agree on what we should focus on in mitigation efforts. For Teresa Springer, the cause of the forest fire was bad forest management, dating back to early logging practices.
These trees are growing. It looks straight down here. See how close and small these trees are together? Seeds usually fall 25 feet from the tree. It takes 25 years for that tree to grow up for another cone to fall. It'd be nice if that was like four trees, but on a year where it does that, you're talking 60 to 100 trees. Usually fire comes through in that, and one or two trees survives out of those 100.
Before the logging industry came into the area, Teresa told me, ground fire would come through the forest every 15 years or so, clearing away most of the saplings and leaving room and resources for the stronger trees to grow a fire-resistant bark. When we started putting out the smaller fires, those competing trees, or ladder fuels, built up over the years. Pretty soon, the forest was like a pile of fuel, waiting to be ignited into a bonfire. And the last time the Waldo area burned naturally?
Oh man, I think it was in the 1800s, the late 1800s was the last time there was a good fire up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's way too long between fires.
Eric Paramond agrees that mitigation within the forest areas needs to change. But he thinks it's just as important to address zoning laws as it is to address forest management. Not to mention hotter summers and more drought due to climate change. All these layers, he told me, are an equal part of the problem.
And I think the sooner we grapple with, you know, short-term solutions that we can have, like mitigation, right, that you and I could get out in our backyard and start getting rid of, like, junipers up against the house, that's the easy stuff. I think the medium range, the mesoscale stuff about land use zoning, some kind of tightening of land use controls about where people can set, oh, that has burned every 10 years, okay, maybe we shouldn't allow that new develop. That's a little tougher. The longer range stuff about climate change is exactly that. It's almost too removed from people to understand that this is part of it, but it's not only climate change. It's bundled together.
Teresa and Eric both agreed that we need to tighten zoning laws.
I'm to the point where I think cities need to go up and not out. We don't have a handle on all this.
Yet even if we were to revolutionize policies concerning these issues, there's only one thing that we can count on in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's the only thing in our future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more fires. Mm-hmm. We have to learn how to live with fire.
As I look over the burnt landscape with Teresa, I have to wonder, what is it about this that makes us feel like we've done something terribly, terribly wrong?
Is this a tragedy to you, or is this...
No, this isn't a tragedy. I mean, the tragedy is that it took us too long to listen to everybody that said thin the forest, and that we allowed ourselves to believe that conservation was hands-off and let it grow back. We took a East Coast vision of a forest and applied it to a middle of the Rocky Mountains, and that's the tragedy. This is just Mother Nature trying to fix it.
It seems impossible to match our human notions of tragic mistake and our oh-so-American notion that we can fix things with the unknown, non-human agenda of the landscape itself. One thing is clear. There's no one solution that's going to fix the fire problem. There was no one arsonist that we can prosecute and be done with it. Justice doesn't really apply here. But we can't help feeling responsible, and I think we're right to do so. But perhaps our responsibility is not to right a wrong, but instead to learn from our most recent fires, to rethink the way we build next to wild areas and the ways we manage our forests, to rethink our sense of place. To paraphrase Abraham Heschel, none of us are guilty, but undoubtedly, we are all responsible. For KRCC and State of the Rockies, I'm Sarah Stockdale.